The commercials are over.
Dude, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on the Kansas Jayhawks. Let's go now to the KU football and basketball beat writer from the Kansas City Star, Shreyas Latta.
And we are back with Shreyas Latta joining here, our KU insider at Sports Daily. It's a Wednesday. Glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, Chad Chambers producing. Shreyas, welcome to Sunflower Showdown Week of 2024. Certainly not what we thought it would be. However, I would say certainly closer to what we thought it would be than we thought maybe 3 weeks ago. KU's finally playing a little offense. They're still not playing the best defense, but they're playing a little offense. I got to give credit. You know, it's been an interesting discussion with Jalen Daniels and, you know, Coach Grimes and everything. I do think those two deserve some credit because they have clearly figured something out. Easily the best two performances from Daniels over the last 2 weeks. And I guess we can start there. I think their recent success at least gives K-State some pause of like, okay, we better be ready to go in this game because KU's offense is back humming a little bit.
100%. I think it's the best the offense has looked, I think, all year. The mix of the run passes looked good. Devin Neal continues to do what Devin Neal does. Jalen Daniels is not throwing the ball over, turning the ball over at a historic rate that he was on for the first five games. And the wide receivers look good. I think that's the best the wide receivers have looked all year. You know, it seems like they finally have built that connection that was so special with Jason Bean. And it was special in 2022. That is special with Jalen Daniels again. And, you know, Quintus Skinner, Lawrence Arnold, they've had breakout games back to back. Luke Grimm hasn't been targeted as much, but I think that's a good thing. He's spreading the ball a little bit more. He's not panicking and throwing to, you know, just one receiver. And I thought overall, I was really impressed with Jalen against Houston. Obviously, Houston isn't a great team, but he made a lot of throws that were like, whoa, that's the kind of Jalen Daniels we've seen in the past. And that's the kind of Jalen Daniels that if he plays like that, he's going to be playing on Sundays.
Trace, I don't know about you, but in watching the Houston game, really to me, it started my thought process on where this team is at really started with their very first offensive drive. It was methodical. They worked their way down the field. It was a heavy dose of Devin Neal. I know that Daniel Hyshaw got the ball at one point, left with an injury, you know, came back a little bit later, and we'll talk about that later. But I really, for me, when they were able to take up a bunch of clock, get into the end zone, score right away, I thought, all right, this looks like a team coming out of the bye wanting to try to change its identity. Did you get that same sort of sense from the very start of the game?
Yeah, I think so. I think they were locked in. They were focused. They just look like a different level of football that we've seen all year from Kansas, I think. I think it kind of goes back to the offense was playing well against Arizona State. They did a lot of the same stuff they did against Arizona State. They did against Houston. They did even better. And I was just impressed. You know, it was consistent offensive production in a year that they haven't really had consistency on that end. And, you know, I think it's the best possible time for it to happen because Kansas needs to win this game for so many reasons, not just to kind of get the monkey off the back and meet their boogeyman in Kansas State, but, you know, they need to go 4-1 or better the rest of the year to make a bowl game. And, you know, it starts with this really tough stretch of games, and it starts against Kansas State. After that, they're playing BYU and Iowa State, and those games are ranked opponents, of course. I think I was looking at it. I think Henry mentioned it on Twitter today. I think KU plays the next four games as a top four of the conference, which is, you know, I think we all thought the schedule would be easier than it is. And I think, like always, it always flips around more than you think.
Well, and, you know, it starts with K-State. I think it's going to be tough. Going into Manhattan and winning that game is going to be tough. It's interesting. I think these two teams are similar offensively in what they want to do. You know, Jalen Daniels isn't going to run it like Avery Johnson's going to run it necessarily, but I think they both want to start with the run. And I think they both like to do those things to open up, you know, the passing games. Can they do that? K-State has been defensively this year inviting teams to throw on them and sort of making sure they don't let teams run on them. That's how BYU beat them. I wonder what KU does here. KU's not going to abandon that philosophy, right? Their offensive game plan is still going to start with Neal and Hyshaw, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting because, you know, Jalen's going to have to basically play a mistake-free game against Kansas State. And, you know, let's call it what it is. Kansas State is much better than Houston and Arizona State. So I don't know if we've seen a game from Jalen against a quality opponent, you know, to the level of, you know, Kansas State this year. I mean, actually, I do know that we haven't seen it, but I mean, we haven't seen it in a long time. But, you know, I think it's going to be a big test for him. It's going to be a big test because he was throwing to the middle of the field, something he hadn't done a lot of all year against Arizona State and Houston. He was, you know, confident. He was comfortable. He looked poised. And, you know, he did things with his legs and his, you know, arm. And I think Lance Leipold said it, and I thought it was really interesting. I don't know the story about it, but Lance talked about it. He was like, I think, you know, we underestimated the amount of rust that he had even back leading up to fall camp. And you know, and I think that's kind of an egregious mistake, to be honest with you. It seems like to me they probably he wasn't quite ready as much as he should have been. And maybe, and I asked myself this, is would Kansas be sitting at a better position if they let Cole start the season a little bit instead of Jalen Daniels, let him get fully healthy and back to normal?
Going to the defense here for a second, Shreyas, you know, I know that they played Houston, right? And Houston is overall not a great offensive team. They really haven't been, you know, all season long. So there's a caveat there and a little bit of context with the opponent that they played. But I was really impressed with overall what the defense was able to do on Saturday against the Cougars, especially, I mean, you know, you can't talk about the defense without talking about Kobe Bryant and the three interceptions that he had. That is, you know, even more impressive considering that he exited the Arizona State game with an injury in the previous game before the bye week. And so coming out and being as effective as he was and knowing that that's leading up to the Sunflower Showdown, do you anticipate the defense now trending in the right direction? Because it had been a struggle for them for a handful of weeks when they had started off the season pretty strong.
You know, I think it is trending in the right direction, but also I don't really take much stock into this Houston game. Yeah. I don't think Houston was a good enough opponent for we can sit there and say they're going to do the same thing against Kansas State to any level of ferocity. They had five sacks. I think they had six or seven QB hurries or QB pressures, and they had four turnovers. I mean, four interceptions they caused, and three of them for Kobe Bryant, who had a fantastic game. I don't think Avery Johnson is going to be throwing some of the balls that the Houston QBs did. I know he's made some mistakes in the past, but he's looked better and better each week that I've seen him in the passing game. I think if Kansas walks away with one or two picks and a couple of sacks, I think that's a big, big, you know, basically it feels like that means the defense has given Kansas a chance to win the game. I really think this is going to be a fascinating game for this Kansas defense because they did a good job of stopping the run against Houston, the QB rushes, but I really don't know if they're going to be able to do that against Avery Johnson and this offensive line of Kansas State. I think it's going to be kind of the thing that probably gives them a lot of issues, and I have a feeling that Kansas is going to probably be within 10 in the fourth quarter, and Avery Johnson's like third and 17, and he makes an 18, 19-yard scramble, and that's that. You know, that's kind of where I'm at with this game. And I just think Kansas basically has to play a near perfect game. And I haven't seen it from this year. So until they do it, I'm not going to sit there and say they're going to come out there.
They didn't even do it against Houston. I was quite frankly, I was pretty annoyed with the end of the first half. Like I sat there and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. The 14 points in the second quarter. And then to their credit, they did a great job in the second half. But yeah, I agree. It's going to take a complete game. The one thing I will say is Avery Johnson, I think, is nicked up. Like, he didn't run at all in the last game against West Virginia. I don't know if he's better now, but remember, he left that game in Colorado, came back, but then didn't run very much last week. So I don't know what his, and we'll see with Fitz tomorrow if he has any insight on how Avery's feeling as far as being a runner. But again, with KU's defense, like, you can't have that second quarter against K-State. Like, you can't have those letdowns like that was Houston. Like, we're sitting there watching them, we're like, all right, this looks great for KU, and they give up 14 points in the second quarter, and you're like, what the hell is happening? They did a great job in the second half. Are they capable of doing that for four quarters? Like, are they able to, or is that a fool's dream?
You know, we're what, 7 games into the season, and we've seen 6 straight games where they have gotten, given up points right before the second half. I'm not a big math guy, but I do like using statistics, and the probability of them not doing that against Kansas State has got to be less than 10%. I have it, if Houston is doing that to you, I'm guessing until you sit there and change something, until it actually comes out there and plays. I thought the defense against Houston did a good job, but I really think they got bailed out by Kobe Bryant a lot of times. I really think if the Houston quarterbacks were not as bad as they were, that game would have been a lot closer. I think it's not me being cynical on Kansas football. It's me being wanting to see them consistently do the things that they're doing in certain games day in, day out. The offense looks like it's turned around a little bit. Yeah. But again, it's against Arizona State and Houston, so who knows? The defense has had one good game in the last 4 games. And again, it's against Houston, a team that had benched their quarterback in TCU 2 weeks ago. Then he had to come back in because their main quarterback got a hamstring injury, which, mind you, that guy had 4 passes and one of them was interception as well. It's really hard to sit there and say, yes, this is the season that Kansas football is going to end their 15-game losing streak against Kansas State. I just don't see it. I just don't see it on the road. Maybe I'm wrong, but, at this point, I've picked Kansas in too many games, so I'm going the other way, and I'm picking Kansas State in this one.
Yeah, you mentioned Kobe Bryant bailing out the team multiple times. Honestly, they were bailed out by the Houston quarterbacks, who made a couple of terrible passes that, you're not going to see, typically happen in the Big 12. On that note, with the quarterbacks, I know that you and Carter Stanley talked about this in your most recent episode, I think before the Houston game, about the trend, and you talked about trends before halftime, but another trend that has really developed this season for the Jayhawks is the inability to contain quarterback runs. That's been just a really difficult part of the defense for the Jayhawks. Obviously, Houston's quarterbacks were, they're not nearly as talented as the guys that they faced before. And then Avery Johnson as well. And Johnson kind of picked apart West Virginia throwing the ball through the air last week. I would imagine a lot of the game plan offensively for the Wildcats is to let Avery Johnson show off his wheels a little bit, because that's an area that the Jayhawks have struggled in. Defensively for Kansas, leading up to, everything I just said, leading up to this question, do you think it's possible for Kansas to game plan a way to try to contain that better? Or should they just kind of throw their hands up and say, look, Johnson's going to get his on the ground. We've got to try to find other ways to be effective defensively. And maybe that's with Kobe Bryant and trying to, do a great job in the secondary.
I think it's a really good question. And I think you have got to stop him from running a buck. Like, if he has 100 yards on the ground, Kansas State means, there's no chance Kansas wins a game like that, unless, he's throwing up picks left and right, which I don't think he will do. I think the big thing is, and they did a good job of this against Houston, is they cut off different angles for rushing lanes for quarterbacks. If they can do that against Avery, I think that'll be huge. But Avery's just so shifty, and we've seen it. He's a run-first quarterback that's learning how to pass as good as he's passed lately. And he's a young quarterback that seems to be getting better day in, day out, game in, game out. Kansas' secondary hasn't exactly been the best this year, and not in the sense of they haven't looked as good, but they just haven't been to the level they were last year. Until Kobe Bryant's kind of interception day, I felt like they weren't getting turnovers to the rate that they were previously, and the pass rush is the big reason why. The amount of pressure that Kansas is getting to quarterbacks has been pretty bad this year, and I think a lot of that goes down to they haven't really had one guy that steps up. They have a committee, but the committee hasn't been consistently stepping up to go out there and get that QB hurry and QB pressure. And Austin Booker's, departure is sorely missed. They really do miss his presence out there, because I think if he was out there, I think Kansas would be sitting at a different record than they are right now. And I think they wouldn't have some of these defensive woos we'd be talking about, and inconsistency on that end if he's out there.
It's the evening window. It's national television. It'll be a big stage for all of these great players. Shreyas, what do you guys have going for us at the KC Star?
Yeah, we'll obviously have, I have a press conference to go to today. I have my story coming out. I had my story yesterday that came out about Jalen, and quarterback room, wide receivers. Me and Kellis will obviously have our predictions, you know, mailbag, typical stuff. It'll be a fun one. I'm excited. You know, I'm always excited for rivalry games. I, you know, don't love making the trip down to Manhattan because it's a drive from Lawrence, but it'll be a fun one. I'm excited for Saturday night, and I just hope it's a close, fun game because, you know, at this point, if they get blown out by Kansas State, their season's pretty much over. So let's see if they can come out there, put some fight in, give the Wildcats a scare.
They can spoil a lot of parties with their schedule coming up, that's for sure. Sharius, we appreciate it. Check out his work at KC Star. Follow him on social media, our KU Insider. We'll talk again in the aftermath next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
There goes Sharius Latta. I'm happy that it feels like it's going to be a better game than it felt like it was going to be two or three weeks ago. KU, that is like, if I'm KU fan today, the fact that they'll get an opportunity to beat really good teams is more, I think, than we thought they might get after, let's call it, the TCU game. Like, that opportunity to get excited about games, I think, is back on the table. And I think they'll get lots of opportunities to do it. And that gives me, I don't want to say butterflies, but it certainly gives me a better feeling than it was a while ago.
I think it's important to note for Kansas, since we've been on the topic of the Jayhawks' perspective in the Sunflower Showdown, I think it's important to note their season isn't over. I mean, maybe the season that they desired and that they expected to have, but overall, their season's not done. They can still make a bowl game, right? Like, that's not – a lot of times – this point during the season in years past, they were already out of bowl contention. Right. It wasn't going to happen. They can still make a bowl. They can still finish with a winning record. I think most importantly, when it comes to this particular game, they can play spoiler to Kansas State. That's going to be motivation in and of itself.
They'll get the spoiler opportunity just about every game they play the rest of the way, which is, that's incentive. Like, if you're a fan, you're a hater at the same time. Like, you want to be a hater to the other teams. So that'll be good. We'll have Tim Fitzgerald in to talk the K-State side of things tomorrow, our K-State insider. So stay tuned for that. The IHOP hotline will be back open for you in the second hour, wide open the rest of the way. Much more on the Chiefs trade for DeAndre Hopkins. On the way out, let's give away some HTO, some free iced tea. You'll get a free iced tea, more than 25 flavors to choose from, sweet or unsweet, or a free iced or hot coffee. Good for all three of the Wichita Metro locations. All you got to do is text the keyword T to the short code 20357. That's T to 20357. You can enter once per day. Good luck, everybody. Message and data rates apply. Hour number two of Sports Daily coming right up.